We have John Anderson here in the studio. Hello, John.
Hello, how are we doing?
Well, I'm not bad. Now, we have some questions to ask you. Blythe Wildlife Rescue Centre in, Blythe. What made you actually start to open up a rescue centre for wild animals,
yeah,
basically?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very popular question to sort of get to there. It's something that I'm asked quite a lot. It sort of goes back very, very long time. Originally, it was sort of hedgehogs and things that we did sort of take in. It does start off like many people do. These centres do start off from, you know, a particular occasion. Maybe you stumble across something personally. And generally in the northeast, we do have a lot of wildlife centres or anything to do with animals, really, at that time. And it was sort of very hard to find out exactly what to do and where to take it and things like that. So you start sort of doing things yourself. And of course, one hedgehog or one occasion turns into several. And then you sort of get known for doing that particular sort of line of work. And sort of people find out about what you're doing. And it's something sort of fairly small that you didn't really anticipate that was going to go any further. Sort of quickly turns into something much, much bigger. And like I say, with the lack of sort of many sort of animal care centres at that time, when we started up in around about 2006, it was sort of a very hard thing to break into and quite unique in a way. And that's how we sort of got started, just purely because there wasn't anywhere else. Or we felt that there was a lack of sort of care on a sort of widespread scale right across sort of Tyneside, Northumberland, things like that. So it was all sort of just to try and catch the niche market there, if you like, on a charitable basis, you know.
So how many actual animals do you actually get in, if you...
Right, I mean, we do, looking at our statistics from last year, 2010, we handled 320 animals taken in, but we do receive in excess of around about 500 to 600 calls across the year, and those animals are rescued from all over Northumberland, Tyneside, and beyond, as we always say. And they're rescued from a whole different range of situations, and we do sort of take a lot of different animals in from veterinary centres and just generally for members of the public as well.
So, well, a place like this can't be cheap. So how do you fund?
It's entirely off donations. I mean, we do sort of try and apply for grants, but unfortunately grants are very hard to apply for, and you've got to meet a fairly strict sort of set of instructions, if you like, to be able to be applicable to all grants. So we do sort of try and get all our donations in through the public. Anything that isn't met by the public's donations, we do have to pay out of our own pockets there, which is, you know, very hard to do. So we do try a lot of different fundraising activities, everything from bag packing and stalls to, you know, doing stalls and fundraising events ourselves in pet stores, to you know, attending local events and just trying to get the message out there while also getting funds in as well. It is very hard, and we do depend on donations. We do spend around about £4,500 every year on the expenditures of what we do, and that isn't included the costs of our fosterers and the cost of petrol, which is going to be in the hundreds as well, you know. So we do estimate around about in total around about £5,000 costs per year to operate.
It's quite a bit, actually.
It is, just a little bit. So you can see how it's slowly started off from, like I say, when I first formed Blythe Wildlife Rescue as it is today, back in 2006, you know, you weren't sort of talking about that sort of expenditures, but gradually as you get bigger and you start branching out into other things and you want to try and improve constantly the facilities that we do offer for all the animals, and obviously not just sort of around Blythe like people think, you know, we do cover a wide range right across Northumberland and through into Tyneside and down into Durham area as well. You know, if an animal needs caring for, or if it's in a predicament that, you know, nobody else can help out there, we're not going to be the ones to play ignorant and say no, you know. We're not going to go out and rescue it, you know. If it needs rescuing, you know, whether it's 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock at night, you know, sure, I'll be straight there and we'll take it from there, you know. But things at that scale do carry a cost, and like I say, it's probably close to £4,500 per year to operate there.
That's right. Well, plus it is, how many workers do you have?
Right, well, we do have several different volunteers at various different locations across Northumberland. The way that we are at the moment, like I say, because of a funding shortfall, if you like, and sort of very poor donations that we do have to keep the service going. We're unable to sort of branch out into like a purpose-made premises. That is something that we're working on, something called the 10K Challenge, which aims to raise sort of £10,000 just from public donations and probably a further £10,000 from business input and things like that, just to enable us to get premises and just improve our facilities that we offer. But currently we don't have anything like that. We all run from our members' homes. I take most of the intensive care patients, if you like, anything that requires medication or, you know, any of the gruesome stuff, if you like, and veterinary care. And then once an animal is deemed sort of on its way to release and it has sort of received all the medication and intensive care that it needs, it is then fostered onto my foster carers. We do have around about 15 to 20 people working within their homes. It is a better way of running there. It does keep overheads down of what you would normally have if it was a purpose-made hospital. So there is advantages and disadvantages to that. But really, it does give everybody a chance to just have that personal touch with a wild animal, something that you wouldn't normally get in any other setting. It does give people that opportunity to actually care for wildlife within their own homes. And we get offer them training, all the equipment and things that they could need. And it basically goes from there. It is, as I say, it's a better way of running that. It does keep costs down. And that's generally how we operate, is just from various different locations. I've got carers everywhere, sort of from sort of Sunderland area all the way up to Morpeth there. So we are sort of located around. It does sort of help things keeping ticking over quietly, because previously, going back a few years when it was just me doing it, if you like, from our home, it was sort of very stressful, and we're handling up to around about sort of 40 or 50 patients at any one time. And that is a lot of animals to be dealing with there. So ensure that sort of our level of care is kept up to a high standard. They are sort of fostered out to different people who can give it their personal attention, really. And I think in terms of animal care, you can sort of focus your attention more better, if you like, if you just have sort of maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 animals at a time, you know, and that's it keeps it ticking over nicely, you know. So we do estimate, I think at the moment, it is very difficult. We're in a busy time of year, and I can't tell you exactly how many animals we are dealing with at any one time. I have got a register at home, but I don't have it with me. It is around about 35 to 40 animals that we're dealing with at the moment, but this can fluctuate. We're releasing all the time. Animals do unfortunately have to get put to sleep for a whole variety of different reasons. We do rehome some of the domesticated animals that we're getting, so it's not just wildlife. We don't tend to advertise the fact that we're taking domestics, otherwise we'd be very quickly swamped under there. But generally, if an animal needs rescuing, we're not going to be ones to sort of turn it away there, regardless of any financial hardship that we're suffering at the moment. So we do try our best, and that's all you can do at the end of the day. You know?
Yes, sir. What kind of animals do you actually get at the centre and the injuries that they actually have?
We'll get a wide range of animals at the centre. Like I say, I covered before briefly that we do deal with wildlife primarily, but we are partial to any domesticated animals there. You know, things like ferrets, to rabbits and guinea pigs, and to snakes as well. Sometimes these are found by members of the public. Either they've escaped or they've been dumped, as people do, and they need care. And obviously, we keep those for as long as we can, because, as I say, we do refer personally on to other centres across the UK and things like that. I am known for my driving capabilities and not knowing when to stop, so I will drive things up quite readily up to Berwick and across to our friends in Cumbria there, who also have a very successful wildlife hospital. And also further down south as well, that I do sort of drive. So anything that we do deal with, you know, if we haven't got the facilities to care for it, then we do sort of forward it on, so every animal is given the best chance there. Our most popular patient are hedgehogs. They are greatly endangered at the moment, an endangered species. And we get those from a whole variety of different scenarios. Usually they're found out during the day. Hedgehogs are strictly nocturnal animals, so if you do see one out during the day, do give us a call. There will be a problem there of some sort, even though if a problem isn't immediately obvious. At the moment, being springtime, or we're actually into summer now, aren't we?
Yeah.
So when you do this line of work, you lose all track of time. Now we really are starting to get busy. We're getting a lot of sort of baby birds in, rabbits, things like that. Normally as a consequence of people's cats sort of robbing nests or mauling cats, mauling rabbits, sorry. So that there's a huge wide variety of sort of cases that we do deal with, you know, from, as I say, maybe cruelty cases, or I call it negligence, for example. Sometimes we do get hedgehogs in that have been strimmed, or as a result of, as I say, it's just pure negligence. So I do encourage people there to do what I would call the obvious thing, was if you have long grass in your garden, then do be sure to check it over to see if there's any hedgehogs nesting there. And we do see some horrific injuries, everything from sort of broken wings and birds, like I say. Strimmer injuries are probably going to be the most severe that you do deal with hedgehogs, where the actual strimmer cuts off a very sort of wide area of the hedgehog skin, maybe across its back, and they're completely mutilated in some cases. And in cases like that, where there's no option to put to sleep, and it's so unnecessary, really. So we do place a lot of emphasis, obviously, on the actual physical rescue and rehabilitation and hopefully eventual release of these animals, but we do sort of play a big part in educating people as well on trying to prevent these sort of incidents from happening. You know, prevention is better than cure, if you like, and that's what we've always said from the start. So my ethos has always been, you know, if you can sort of educate people and stop these things from happening in the first place, then it will reduce our sort of incidents that we have to deal with. But most of our a large amount of number of animals that we do deal with are purely down to humans and their actions at the end of the day, unfortunately. But we do get sort of natural instances as well where animals do get sick. People say, you know, you shouldn't play with nature, let nature take its course. You know, fine, whatever, you're entitled to your opinion, really. But if an animal's suffering and you can turn your back on that, then, you know, there's no really words for that, really. There's no right in this sort of day and age now, where we are sort of got not such on a human scale, but also for in veterinary terms, you can pretty much do anything to save an animal. So it's our job to try and sort of reverse the effects that humans do have on animals, like I do say with strimmer strimmer incidents there. Everything from that to sort of RTAs, you know, animals injured by car accidents and things like that. So if we can work to address those issues directly and sort of address them and get them back out into the wild, that's not sort of interfering with nature, that's redressing the balance, you know. So anybody that says that's my answer to them, really. There's no argument, is there, really?
No. So have you got anything in mind for the future of the centre?
Yeah, we've got a lot of things planned. We're always doing fundraising appeals. One of our sort of main fundraising appeals at the moment is called the 10K Challenge. We launched that in August of last year. Unfortunately, we haven't had the desired effect that we originally intended there. We have only managed to sort of raise just over £1,000 for, like I say, a £10,000 challenge. And the aim of that is to try and get funds set aside so we can actually get a purpose-built unit. Think of it like your local vet centre, but just for wildlife, and we sort of deal that in very much a similar way, and that just works to improve the facilities that we have got at the moment. But like I say, like I touched on before there, with the whole fostering initiative that we started a number of years ago, yes, it has its advantages, but it has its disadvantages. You know, if you have got sick animals, they do need to be in a pretty much sort of semi-hospital environment, if you like. So that's what the 10K Challenge aims to address there, but that's only possible through donations and sort of large sort of corporate funding and grants from local businesses. So we do very much depend on the public support for carrying on how we are doing at the moment. So it is quite a battle to actually get the funds in to reach that £4,500 per year. But like I say, we are sort of always in need of funds, trying to get those funds together for the 10K challenge and also to allow us to continue. Our current state of play is basically we have very little left in the Blyth Wildlife Rescue Fund. That's the bank account that we have for the charity, and once those funds run dry, you know, it's a very hard, difficult place to be, because you're left only by yourself to actually continue and keep it going. I mean, that's what I've done for many years, and I don't intend to stop, you know, and I've got a part-time job now to actually put the funds directly in when the public don't donate, you know. The difficult thing is, you know, when the public donations stop and grants stop and things like that, our work doesn't. you know, because we still get the calls, so I could leave here today, and there's several messages on the emergency line then, and that means that I've got to travel all over the northeast to get that animal, but we're not going to be the ones to sort of turn our back and say, sorry, no, there's no money in the pot, we're going to, you know, just put it back where it's left. It's more of a conscience thing with me as well, as well as a determination to try and get the job done at the end of the day. I feel if you can't really do a job properly if you're not sort of putting everything in. I've got a strong belief that we can make this into something much, much better than it is at the moment, and we just need support from everybody else to try and keep this service going and also improve our facilities in the near future.
Yep. A final question came through on the text, actually. Have you got any food bins that people can leave food in?
Yeah, that's a really big problem, actually. There are quite a good selection of animal charities across the northeast, aren't there? You know, pretty much any supermarket you go into, there's ones there for the cat and dog shelter, for example, and other places like that. The trouble is, you know, you can only have one food bin in there, any shop. So what we will see is, if you do have a shop out there, or if you know of a supermarket who doesn't have one, do give us a call and let us know where there are any opportunities for any sort of fundraising. It's not so much the food bins as well, but pretty much anything that you have got there. Maybe you have a local business that you might want to do fundraising. Maybe you've got a fundraising idea that we haven't tried yet. I'm sure there's plenty out there. I mean, we are trying absolutely anything at the moment. But like I say, a lot of fundraising opportunities that we do try and pursue, we don't get anything back. It's fairly hard to get into. So like I say, if anybody does have any suggestions out there, or maybe you own a shop that we can actually put a collection bin in to cut the costs there, because that's what we're trying to sort of place a lot of emphasis on at the moment, is not just sort of getting money in, but if you can get people to actually donate things that we do use quite regularly, like cat food, like bird seed, and things like that, you know, then that's cutting our costs down. We don't actually have to go out and use our own money to buy that, you know. So it's brilliant. If anybody has any suggestions, we're all ears.
Have you got any contact details?
I have indeed, yes. Our emergency number is 079 1064 3122. We've also got a big web presence. We've got a website, so if you just want to visit www.blythewildliferescue.co.uk, we're available on that telephone number 24 hours of the day. I might sound a little bit different early in the morning, but the fact is that, you know, like I say, we do operate 24 hours of a day, and if something needs a help, you know, I don't see why we should restrict ourselves between the hours of 9 and 5, and if it comes in at 6 o'clock, you know, it hasn't got that right. It's lost its right to the proper treatment. So people can get through on that number 24 hours a day. And also, just touching on the website there, you can actually browse the website. We give out a lot of advice on there. As I said, working on the education side, people can also visit the new patients updates section on the website, which actually allows you to actually have a look on all the different patients that we've got in recently. Maybe you've brought an animal to us and you want to check up and see how it's doing. There's photos, videos, content on that website. We've also got a very extensive range of photos and updates updated daily on our Facebook group. So we just type in Blythe Wildlife Rescue into your Facebook there, and also Twitter, you can follow us and everything that we're doing on a day-by-day basis. And we do place, you know, quite a sort of deep emphasis on that, just keeping everybody updated, so you can see where your donations are going. You can see the hard work that is done by all of us, not just me. There is a lot of people that put their heart and soul into this charity and trying to keep it going and caring for the animals and just keeping us going in the straight and narrow there. So we are contactable, as I say, 24 hours a day, and do visit our website. And most importantly, if you can visit a very important page on the website called Donate, you can also access that directly by typing in blythewildliferescue.co.uk/donate, and let's get some funds in.
Yes, that's the way.
It is.
try it. Well, you can't actually live really without money. You've got to try and keep on going and hoping that something's going to come along.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we all play the lottery, but it hasn't proven very successful at the moment.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming in, John. Actually, it's been a pleasure having you here in the studio.
That's great.
And I will keep the poster for 10K challenge, and it will go in the local readout folder. So if you have any spare cash, you have to say, you know where to send it to.
So, I would certainly hope so, yeah. I mean, as, like I say, we are doing out there and we are spending a lot of our own money, so all we really ask is just a little bit of support from everybody else. At the end of the day, the public are bringing us their animals, so it is sort of burdening our services. We're happy to do it at the end of the day, but with a little bit of support, we could be so much better, and we don't want to have to stop doing this. And we have to if funds don't come in. You know, that's the state of play at the moment. As I say, we don't want to stop what we're doing. We want to improve, if anything.
Oh, yeah.
And not just sort of stop doing it. So if anybody can help, and maybe you're not able to donate personally, but you've got some secret powers somewhere, that or a little magic wand, something, or you have contacts, or any sort of fundraising suggestions, anything that you might want to do on a personal basis, absolutely great, you know, as long as it gets the funds in and allows us to continue rescuing animals 365 days of every year. That would be brilliant.
Yes, well, thank you very much for coming in.